Hey, welcome to Devotions from Calvary, where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Greg Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Devotions for Calvary. I hope that you are sharing these devotions with your Facebook family, and as I would really like to reach 1,000 followers this year. All right, I am one-tenth, just a little more than one-tenth of the way, and need your help to do this, and like to be able to reach many homes with the truth of Scripture. So please, please, please help me and share my Facebook page with your family and with your friends. That would be wonderful. I don't know what's going on with the weather, but it is too cold outside. It's 52. It's blustery, it's rainy, it's windy, and I need my grass mowed. So if you'd like to bless me, as long as you can make the line straight, you come and mow my grass for me. That'd be great. Hey, I have been overwhelmed, and I have probably procrastinated and hesitated, but I want to make sure that the timing's right and the resources are there and I have my words right on the subjects that I want to give. I've been giving much attention over the past several weeks to several months on some subjects that I want to bring, and they're going to be divided up, and I want you to stay with me through them, and I want to do this in our podcast. I'm going to put this on video, and then also it's on our podcast to listen to. That's why I have the headphones on, so I can hear myself to make sure I'm on the right path as far as the volume. But this podcast, all right, this podcast, Devotions from Calvary, is not ever going to bend on scriptural value. I want you to understand that. I'm not going to bend on the integrity of Scripture and the cohesiveness of every word of God. Keep in mind, the scope of this podcast is where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. And I want to make sure you understand that. I might even use several years ago. It's probably been probably 30 years ago. I was in the book of Numbers and reading about Balaam, and there was a verse in there that just grabbed my attention, and I've stuck to this verse all of my Christian life as studying the scriptures and studying the Bible creating the messages that God's given me. Numbers 22:18, Balaam says, "I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." Not going to get into the situation that Balaam was in, but what was happening was Balak, the king, had sent messengers to have him curse Israel because he was a prophet, and basically outside influences wanted to dictate what God was going to say. And Balaam said, "I cannot go beyond what God says. I can't go further and I cannot go less. I have to be right in the middle. I've got to do exactly what God says." So, in other words, I cannot say anything outside or outside of God's word, teach anything by addition, and I cannot teach anything by subtraction than what God has intended to teach within the confines of its context in the given passage of Scripture and really within the continuity of the thought of that passage. But do not take one verse out of the Bible and says this and just preach on one verse without knowing the context or the circumstance or the passage of Scripture, or the reason for the teaching, because everything has to be in its proper order, all right? This is an expository podcast. It's an expository devotion, and in this podcast and in this video cast, the truth is going to be exposed and the truth is going to be revealed. It's not my truth and it's not your truth, but it is God's truth. Because he's the foundation. God is the standard. God is the guide, and he is the rule, and all Scripture is given for our admonition and not to be debated upon. There is no Scripture that is of any private interpretation. There is only one truth. Amen. I hope that you believe that. And only one word. And both are found in Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this we'll see as we discover, and we're going to look directly into the Bible. Paul, the apostle, who's saved on the road to Damascus to bring a lot of havoc to the Christians, made it quite clear in his letter to the Corinthians. This was a church that was immature. They were Christians under the delusion of their own Christianity on how they got saved, or better yet, who saved them. And we read in 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Now, I say that because there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of misinterpretation of Scripture today in many religions that have been passed down through the years, through the generations, and they are believed upon as truth. And in this church of Corinth, Paul made it clear to them that it was not by him, it wasn't by Apollos, it wasn't by Cephas, but it was only by and through Jesus Christ that man is saved, man is rescued, man is restored for all eternity. When we talk about salvation, and we're going to get to that, maybe not in this podcast, but those are some things that what salvation does. It rescues a man, it saves a man, it restores him. And it's by Christ's work, not by man's work. By Christ's accomplishment, and not by man's. By Christ's sacrifice, and not by man's. In other words, God and His Word, all right? God and His Word is not to bring any confusion. It is not to bring commotion. God's Word is not there to bring disorder in the church house or even in the mind and in the soul of man. That's not what God's Word is for. His words are clear. His words are precise. His words are truth. Even as Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Right? God has given us His Word, and certainly even in the Old Testament pictures and the types of Christ in the law by which Christ Himself fulfilled it. All right? Christ fulfilled what the Old Testament pictured. Even as Christ mentions Himself in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 17, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets." He's basically saying, I didn't come here to dismantle the law that God has given. I did not come and to ridicule and dismantle the prophets by whom God had used in the Old Testament. He said, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come, he said, I'm not come to destroy, but I am come to fulfill them, to bring them to an accomplishment, to complete them. All right? The fullness of the Old Testament is for Christ to bring you and I salvation, which is really the simple act of faith in Christ. And that faith in Christ converts the soul. That faith in Christ, it's so simple that we come to Him even as a little child in the childlike faith and the childlike understanding and the simplicity of an innocent mind of a child. Luke 18:17 says, "Verily," Jesus said this, He said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Now, that kind of forfeits a lot of the philosophy and the traditions and teachings of many churches because we are trying to add so much other, stuff in our salvation. When Jesus Himself said, just come as a little child. Yet there are an unnumbered beliefs of salvation. Multiple teachings on how to get to heaven or how or even when one becomes a Christian. And that teaching and that philosophy has brought a mixing bowl of confusion and actions that are put in place to really to accommodate and hopefully, just hopefully, assist in a heavenly journey. But the problem is, it's without assurance. It's without absolute confidence in salvation. I think John R. Rice, years ago, wrote a book on a hope-so salvation. We don't have a hope-so salvation. I don't hope that I'm going to heaven. I don't hope that I make it. I don't hope that all my good works outweigh my bad. And I don't hope that I end up in a place in between heaven and hell. And we're going to talk about that. No. Salvation in Christ should not become a guesswork system or a hope-so salvation. It's an absolute. It's a confidence. It's a trust in what the Bible clearly tells us with every context of not only Jesus' teaching, but we also have to consider the book of Acts and the letter of the Pauline epistles to the churches, John's book, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. You talk about Jude and Peter and James, and even in the book of Revelation that John had written, talks about salvation. All these scriptures have been inspired or God-breathed, and man became the instrument to write down the very words of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, that means for teachings, for doctrine, for reproof, that means to tell me what's wrong, to tell me that I'm wrong, tell me of my sin, for reproof, for correction, how to correct it, how to get right, and for instruction, how to keep right, how to walk right in righteousness. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So even Paul said, we're not speaking concerning our own philosophy, our own thinking, our own way of figuring it out. He said, no, these are God's, the Holy Spirit is teaching these things. 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or breathed upon by the Holy Ghost. God's word is unchangeable, and God's word is unchanging. It has not changed, it cannot change, and it will not change. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And the understanding is, when he talks about settled in heaven, it means that it's been etched in a heavenly stone that cannot be changed, it cannot be altered, it cannot be erased. Matthew 5:18 says, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God's word doesn't change, and Jesus Christ's word, being the word, does not change, therefore, Scripture itself, the inspired very word of God, does not and cannot and will not change. So, the simpleness of God's word is for the redemption and salvation of men. And clearly given without disruption, it's been given without corruption. God would not say one thing in one area and mean it differently in another area. God will not, cannot, and does not contradict himself. Now, I want you to keep this in mind, because when you take a verse out of the Bible and try to fit it into a salvation or fit it into a work salvation or fit it into something else, when you have other verses that contradict that, then you're taking God's word and trying to fit it. You're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, and it's not going to work. God is truth. God is truth, and truth is to be revealed. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I know what you're just saying. Well, now you just said hope. That hope in Greek means confidence. Not a wonder, not a possibility. It means confidence. So in the confidence of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, he promised it before the world began. And how did he promise it? Because through the very work of Christ, before he was ordained, even before the foundations of the world, that man through him would receive salvation. So we will approach a few subjects, and I hope and pray that you will take what is said in your Bible. So I want you to grab your Bible when we go through this so you can see firsthand for yourself what God is saying. Whether it's through Christ's words or whether it's through the letters of the apostles, wherever we're at, I want you to have your Bible in hand. These subjects are not going to be easily digested, okay? I just wanted to forewarn you on that. They're not going to be easily digested. And I'd imagine that some of them would probably be refuted to a degree because of our teaching and our over the course of time. Here's the problem. We say that we've always been taught this. All because we have been taught it doesn't mean that it's the truth. You have to be very careful with that. Now, if you're being taught the truth and scriptural truth and unrefuted truth in the Bible, where it's in this proper context and in the proper setting, then it's the truth. But if it's by man and we've just been taught this, but we don't know if it's in the Bible or where it's at in the Bible, if it's been taught in the Bible, then it's truth. If it's taught with the supporting and in its proper context, we can be taught all of our life one thing. We can be taught all of our life one thing and then realize later that it wasn't right. Have you ever sung a song and I've done it before, maybe you've done it. Have you ever sung a song and sung a song one way all of your life? I mean, you think you know the words, you think you've got it down pat, and all of a sudden you see the lyrics of that song, and you're thinking, I have been singing it wrong. I've been saying this word and it's this word? You know, you've been doing this all of your life. And then all of a sudden you say, well, I've been singing it wrong all my life. You see, in many cases, we see this in the church teachings. And they're not biblical, and they're not in their context. So if you see it in the Bible, in its proper context, in the proper environment, then the truth itself will be revealed. Now, here's the subjects. We're not going to get to them today. My time is up. But here are the subjects that we're going to be discussing. Maybe some more brief than others, but they're all going to be pretty intense. I dare say that they're going to be short, and you can ask my church every time I say that, okay, this is going to be a short message, or I'll not take too much time. That never happens. It just never happens. I want it to here and there. You know, to give a short, sweet, simple little message, but it normally does not happen. So I'm not going to say that. These subjects are going to be discussed. And throughout the podcast, I will be given countless scriptural references. All right? Not just one or two, but several that will support these subjects and support one another without discrepancy. All right? That's why I give several verses. Okay? So keep that in mind. And also, I want you to understand that when we talk about salvation, that Christ himself, the work on Calvary, by which Christ, the ultimate and complete sacrifice for man's sin, I want you to understand that has been accomplished. We were on the subject of salvation in a sense, and we're going to get into this. I'm not going to go any further. I'm just going to stop right there, because I want you to have a hunger for what's coming up. All right, and I don't want to leave you overwhelmed just quite yet. We will get overwhelmed, most likely, but it'll be a good overwhelming. I have prayed over these subjects, and I want you to understand that I am not going to try to, I don't want to ridicule, I don't want to bring about any kind of uneasiness. But here are the subjects that I want us to investigate. I want you to grab your Bible when we do this. Here are the subjects on what does the Bible say concerning faith. All right, faith is twofold. All right, faith is a position and faith is a practice. We're going to talk about that. What is works? What does the Bible say about works? Where do works come into play? Do works have value in our salvation, or don't they? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about salvation because both faith and works in many religions seem to go together in order to get to salvation or to a point of salvation. So we're going to talk about what salvation is, and most of you may know, but I think it'd be good for you to have some absolute certainty and assurity on what salvation is and how to obtain it. And so these three subjects, faith, works, and salvation, led to a fourth subject. This fourth subject is going to be the one that that is going to cause maybe a little bit more uneasiness. Here it is. Are you ready? Here it goes. Purgatory. What does the Bible say about purgatory? Is it true? Is it real? What's your thoughts? We're going to talk about this. I want you to understand that because I want you to understand that we got to go in order of this, because if you don't understand the first three, then you're going to be bent to believe that there is a fourth, and that would be the purgatory. Because if you don't understand fully what faith is, what works mean, and what salvation is, then you're apt to feel and believe that there is a purgatory. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible even give? Trust me, I've done a lot of study on this, and I was brought up in a way that there is a purgatory. So therefore, is there? All right. Thanks for joining me today. It's going to be a good one. I'm Greg Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, 1045 Monroe Concord Road here in Troy, Ohio. Join my our media family on Facebook. The church Facebook and YouTube, you can go there and you can watch all of our archived videos of our services. If you're looking for a church, and I would encourage you to do that, come by and visit with us here at our church. Follow my devotions from Calvary on Facebook and be notified when the new devotions come out. And then share them with your family, share them with your friends. Help me reach 1,000 followers by the end of the year. That would be so exciting. That we can do that. You can also listen to these devotions on Spotify, Amazon Music, and some other platforms, and just type in devotions from Calvary, and you should see the logo come up. If you have questions, especially during these subjects and these podcasts over the course of the next several weeks, if you have questions, please email me at pastor@calvarytroy.com, and we will slip your questions in if you have some. And certainly I will answer you as well. But thanks for joining me today, all right? Hope to see you here at the church sometime or see you online. Lord bless you.